understand, Dave is has been representing us for the Anglican Network in the Anglican or the Young Anglican Movement, which is a provincial, the Anglican Church in North America, provincial youth work. He is at St. John's, Vancouver, working with youth, and I would just encourage people to make connection with him to hear what's happening, and I thank you, Dave. Bless you. We're talking, of course, as one of them, children, but we presuppose that children grow up to be youth, etc. So we need to broaden that scope. Now, the plan is that we want to allow for the part of our synod to be framed around these five priorities. And in other words, that we don't just talk about it and then move on. And so that's what this afternoon's about. And as I've already mentioned, I have appointed five chairs for the five priorities. And here's what I'm hoping we can do. I'm going to ask those chairs if they can squeeze into what was going to be 10 minutes into 7 or 8. That would be good. But if they can do that, then there are a couple of questions which we would like to invite you around your table. The focus of this is how can you in your parish move forward in this area? And maybe what are some of the areas of that would promote or be a hindrance against that? So John McDonald's going to help us with those questions, and then we're going to pray. We're going to pray for one another for a few minutes, and then we'll move on to the next one. So Ray David Glenn, would you come? The first priority, we're following the order that are on those blue cards. So Bold Witnesses is our first, and Ray David is going to be leading us.
Thank you so much, Charlie. I'm going to be talking about being bold witnesses, but before I do, I have to confess, I can't get the picture of how Canada is a misshapen sausage out of my head. I don't see it, but Dr. Packer has virtual papal authority, and if he says it looks like a sausage, it looks like a sausage. I'm Ray David Glenn. I'm the rector of St. George's Church in Burlington, a church I've served now for 10 years, for the first couple of years with Charlie. Our church was the third parish to leave the Anglican Church of Canada and join the Anglican Network in Canada back in February 2008. Shortly after that, we left our historic building and began worshiping in a rented facility at the Crossroads Center, and it's been a great provision from the Lord. However, just recently, about 2 years ago, we purchased a parcel of land in Burlington and had it rezoned and have begun construction, and God willing, expect to move in December 16th. Imagine. Now, if you've ever been involved in construction projects, you know that that date probably means Easter 2018, but we'll keep you posted. My ministry, through a series of events, has become very clear. I believe that I'm called to pastor St. George's long term, which is good news for some of our folks and probably not so good for others. But Charlie asked me to begin just by introducing myself. My most important ministry is to my 12-year-old son, Matthew, whom I've been uniquely charged with the task of discipling and loving and chasing on everything with two wheels and skis and all that stuff. So that's just a little bit about me. Let's dive right in. In Bishop Charlie's charge, which, by the way, thank you so much, Bishop, for your charge. Thank you. It was inspiring. In Bishop Charlie's charge, he said that he, as a first priority, wanted us to be a diocese that was shaped around being bold witnesses to the gospel. When Charlie approached me and asked if I would chair this initiative, he said to me very clearly about these five priorities. Charlie, I hope this isn't oversharing, but he said, "Ray David, these are five priorities that I would give my life for." And I said, "Charlie, those are five priorities that I give my life for, too. What about you? Are there ones that speak to you that deeply, that motivate you to do more than just sit back and say, yeah, Bishop, those are good things, but those are actually things that I want to invest in making happen, working at the Master's behest?" I also appreciated when Charlie said that the gospel has content, that it is good news. It's good, and it's also news. Part of being bold witnesses is to embrace the fact that as news, we can no more proclaim the gospel just without words, then Peter Mansbridge could read the evening news without using words. There's content. It demands that we open our mouths and speak. And so Charlie wrote this line to describe it. Bold witnesses, meaning that every member of every Anak church will personally have responded to Christ and know how to share the gospel and invite others to come to Christ. If you parse that out, there are two distinct parts to this. The first is to have personally responded to the gospel. And the second is to lead others. The first is to consider that every member will have personally responded to Christ. This task, this priority, begins with you and me. On that note, let me just share my story with you. I was blessed to be raised in a Christian home, and I actually was converted to Christ when I was 4 years old. That's a true story. I remember the day very clearly. I remember sitting in a church service, and there was an invitation to receive Christ as personal Savior, and at 4 years of age, I was overcome with my own sinfulness, and I was clear about my need for a Savior. And at 4 years of age, I threw myself upon the mercy of God. I remember weeping. I remember adults saying things like, "He's too young, he doesn't really understand." And I remember everything in every fiber of my being saying, "No, I understand. This is real." Perhaps you have a similar story. Maybe you can point back to the moment when you came to Christ. Now, if you've pastored for a little while, you may also know that there are some people who say, "I can't say the date. I can't tell you that it was on October 22nd, 1982. But I can tell you that I love Jesus and I'm following him and he's my Lord and Savior." C.S. Lewis has this great picture. He says that coming to faith in Christ is somewhat like riding a train from Berlin to Paris. For some of the passengers on board the train, they will be wide awake and they'll be able to tell you the precise moment that they crossed over from Germany to France. There will be others who may have been asleep on the train and wake up in France. The question is not, do you know the moment that you crossed over from Germany to France? The question is, do you know that you're in Paris? And that's the question that's set before each and every one of us. Do you know that you have, in biblical terms, been born again? How can you know? How can you know? Well, how do you know that you were born? You could go back and dust off your filing cabinet and pull out your birth certificate and say, "My birth certificate says that I was born, so I know that I was born." Or you could just say, "I know I was born because I'm alive." And the same thing is true of being born again. You can either go back and dust off your filing cabinet and pull out your baptismal certificate and say, "I think I was born again because on such and such a date I was baptized." Or you can look at your life and say, "I am born again because I'm living a new life." The point is, we've been charged with the task that every member will have personally responded to Christ. The second part of this charge, and I'm moving very quickly through these, is to say not only that every member will have responded, but that every member will be equipped on how to share the gospel and invite others to come to Christ. I want to share just quickly two passages in the New Testament that I think are programmatic and paradigmatic for how we lead people to Christ. There are two passages that set up opposite ends of the spectrum. In the first one, we'll see a brand new convert to Christ who's leading others to Christ. And in the second one, we'll see a fully mature disciple. John chapter 1, verse 35 to 42, tells the story of John the Baptist saying of Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God." And you guys know the story. There were two disciples there at that time, and one of them happened to be Andrew. Andrew, immediately upon hearing that Jesus was the Lamb of God, ran off from the scene, grabbed a hold of his brother named Peter, and dragged him back to Jesus. And he said to Peter, "We have found the Christ." What was he saying? He was saying, "You've got to come see this guy. You've got to see him for yourself. So here is Andrew, who is not yet a formed disciple. He doesn't have the language. He doesn't have an MDiv yet. He hasn't been to Ryle College. But he's been recently converted, and he's full of zeal. And as a brand new convert, all he can muster is, Peter, you've just got to come with me and see him for yourself. New converts can share the gospel even simply. The second account is captured in Acts 8, and that's the story of Philip with the Ethiopian official. And you guys know the story. Philip heads out following his interaction with Simon the sorcerer. He heads out. He's led by the Spirit. And he sees the Ethiopian official reading a book. Now, by this point, Philip is a well-formed disciple of Christ. He has the language, he's confident in the gospel, he's confident in the work of the Spirit. He's so confident in the work of the Spirit and the gospel that he knows that if he just goes up and talks to the Ethiopian and says, hey, what are you reading? He'll be able to strike up a conversation and show him that Christ is at work even in whatever he's reading. Now, it happens to be the Isaiah scroll, so it's low-hanging fruit. But the point is this, whether you are a brand new convert or whether you are a long-time mature disciple of Christ, sharing the gospel is for everyone, absolutely everyone, regardless of age, regardless of how long you've been walking with the Lord. And so we hope, God willing, to resource everyone on different stages of their journey with the ability to share the gospel with others. Two things, having responded to the gospel, able to share the gospel, and then Charlie included the words witness and bold. Some of us, when we think about sharing the gospel with others, are quite intimidated because we think, well, I'm not really a Christian apologist. I don't really know how to deconstruct things and how to... Well, really what Scripture calls you to do is just be a witness. And you find that one of the most powerful and effective ways to share the good news of Jesus is through your own personal testimony, to bear witness to what Jesus has done in your life. It goes something like this. I used to be like this. Now I'm like this because of Jesus. We can all tell that story and be witnesses. The word bold, I think, is important because it speaks not to being brash or obtuse, but instead, bold in the sense of being confident. Confident in the gospel. You know, it's worth pausing to ask the question, do you really believe that the gospel still works? Do you really believe that in sharing it, people will be converted to Christ? Are you confident in the work of the Spirit? And also, bold and confident in the sense of being comfortable in your own skin. You're going to share the gospel differently than Charlie does. But what we want to do is to provide resources to you so that you can be confident in the way that you are going to share the gospel. We're going to put together, God willing, a small committee. And the small committee's mandate and task will be to resource parishes and members. So the committee is not going to be the evangelism committee that does all the work. Our goal and our focus will be to resource every member and every parish to do the work of being bold witnesses. We have some ideas, maybe a clearinghouse website where we can point to a whole bunch of resources, maybe another forum where we can share experiences of being bold witnesses, but a lot of that is still in formation. So as we move into this time of discussion, let me just leave you with one thing. Would you commit to praying? Pray for a clear calling for yourself, for others in Anik, to share the gospel. Would you also pray for a growing sense of confidence? Confidence in the gospel. I think now we're going to turn to our table discussions. And are there questions, Charlie?
Yeah, where's John?
Here it is.
Did I take too long?
No, you're
fine. No, Ray David didn't take too long. Who was the guy before him? George? Where's George?
What we want to do, like, there's so much wisdom coming as a result of this, and Ray David is laying out the vision as presented initially by Charlie. But as Ray David says, there's a committee being struck, and there will be five committees being struck. But the whole idea is that this will end up at the parish level. And so we thought we have this opportunity with representatives from almost all of our parishes here today. So we're going to take some time now and have a bit of discussion around these couple of questions. And the real idea is that the suggestions that you have, we think, will really take it to that other level so that when the committees form, they're going to be able to say, how are the parishes feeling about this? So we're hoping through these discussions, you will get a better grip on what this means for you at your parish. That's what this is all about. Now, we don't have a lot of time, but we have enough time. We're not going to go through the process of you having the discussions and reporting back to everybody. But at your table, there you see these sheets. And there's one sheet for each of the priority statements. So what we'd like you to do right now is deal with priority one, as explained by Ray David. And we want you to take, we'll probably know better after this one in terms of timing, but even if you take 5 minutes at this point to deal with question number one. And question number one is really to make this priority a reality in your parish. What could you do to make this happen? What can you do, you as representatives of your parish, do? What kind of action can you take that would make this a reality in your parish? So when Ray David comes around and visits you at your parish, he will know this is really happening. This is more than a vision. This is a reality in your parish. So have a couple of minutes to discuss that. The second part of it is, of course, is that to make it happen. And it could be as simple as if one way to really equip people is that, you know, you end up introducing a Bible memory program in your parish, and everybody is really into that. That might be a result to begin us on the path. But the second part of the question is really about to do this, what influences or challenges might you face that will really help make that happen? What resources do you need? Or what could possibly block you so we can be prepared to deal with that at the committee level? So let's do that right now to deal with the two questions. Somebody at your table should make notes on those sheets, and we'll collect them as we go through this in the next little while. Thank you.
Great job.
Is it okay? Oh, good. I was trying to jam it all in there because I knew I had less time. But